Listening Dog Media.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
He's one of England's most capped international players.
Seaman is the man here.
He's one of the world's most decorated goalkeepers.
And it's somehow kept out by Seaman. That is a fantastic save.
This is Seaman Says with David Seaman.
And Seaman, what a magnificent save.
Hear him.
Breathtaking.
Like never before.
Hello and welcome to Seaman Says with me, David Seaman, and Lindsay Hooper. Today, I'm joined by a Premier League, FA Cup and European Cup winner, who just happens to be my best mate, and is a pretty good golfer too, Mr. Lee Dixon.
It wasn't a nice environment, so I think that separation between the fans, the press and the players was huge. But I think what Gareth's done is he's brought all everybody together, and the press actually want the team to win.
Hello, Lindsay.
Hi, David. I feel like we wanted to speak on the back of a better result. We weren't wanting to have to see each other face to face today, looking disappointed.
Yeah.
Crying emoji.
It was disappointing. That's the first feeling that you get. But they've got to a final. That's not been done for a long, long time. So I still feel that we've got a lot to be proud of. And in Gareth, I just felt that we've got a guy there that, you know, he makes decisions. There's no two ways about it. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. People will question the substitutions, you know, and people will question why Saka took the last penalty. But for me, it's a huge positive. We've come off of the back of the World Cup in Russia, semi-final. Now we've done the Euros, got to the final, and I just feel that that confidence is going to get bigger and bigger for the World Cup. I'm already looking forward to it.
You know what? You are right when you say that in terms of going into future tournaments. You're no longer thinking, shall I really book longer than a few days at the hotel?
Exactly.
Because I've had that before. I mean, in Brazil, we were back home. We knew it was going to happen after the second match. And I'd only just flown out there. So I think, yeah, there's a renewed sense of positivity around what this team can do. The fact of their ages as well. They're young. They're still growing together, the bulk of them. I think, is there an element of this? And you can tell me. I don't know whether you had so much disappointment, really. But is there an element of you having to taste that in order to then overcome it?
Yeah, but we tasted quite a bit of it, if I'm honest. You know,
we do come out as the nearly guys again, don't we?
I know, but you know, like, bugs me when people say, oh yeah, but they've got an easy route through to the final, and you know, they were saying it about the World Cup, and I'm thinking, like, hang on a minute, I got knocked out by Argentina, Brazil, and Germany in the Euros. I would rather take the easier route rather than going up against them. you know, and getting knocked out early. It does bug me, but I just feel that we are getting better and better. You know, as much as we didn't play our greatest performance, which I said before that we are going to need that to beat the Italians, because we all saw how good they were. You know, I was looking for that Dutch game, you know, like that 4-1 where everybody plays brilliantly. I felt that we needed that to beat the Italians, but it just didn't happen.
I know hindsight is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I still, this morning, I woke up, one of my first thoughts was, I still think that we could have won that in extra time.
Yeah, because we had like a little spell, didn't we? Especially in the second half of extra time as well. You know, where we started keeping the ball and we got a couple of near... There was a John Stones header that was really close. But then, when you look at the stats and you see how many saves Donnarumma made... Zero. No saves.
True.
One goal.
It's maybe not as close as you feel it in the moment.
Yeah.
Have to speak about Pickford. I think he came away from this final as the player for England.
Between him and Sterling, with Jordan especially in the final, you know, the saves that he made, and then to make two penalty saves in a shootout and you end up on the losing team, you know, that is going to hurt. And I was watching him afterwards and I could see he was so frustrated. Even more than he normally is. Yeah, you just felt for him because when you get two, and there were great saves as well. The second one from Jorginho was a brilliant save because, like what I was saying to you before, that, you know, you've got to stand up, you've got to wait. And Jordan,
I was watching
that.
It like this after speaking to you. I was like, wait. And I was actually saying it out loud in the fan zone. Wait, I'm told you've got to wait, Jordan. And then they went to a close-up of him. And he was saying something out loud to himself, like something like, you've got this, or it's okay. Yeah. And
he's going, no problem.
No problem, that was it. It was like, right. no problem, that affirmation. And then when he waited, I was like, David's right. Yeah.
I did it a few times, Lindsay, trust me.
Yeah, no.
But that was an amazing save. Onto the post, it was a brilliant save. But it's the same sort of thing. It's like, you make that save, then you need the next player to come in and score. I had it in Argentina when we were doing a shootout with them. I made the save. And then Inter came in and missed the next penalty, you know. So, like, the advantage has gone, like, straight away. You know, like, why is it always us on penalties?
Oh, don't. Am I asking too much of him? Because I wanted him to take the final penalty. Well, I wanted it to be Pickford. I was like, you know what? You've done all the hard work. Jorginho, who does not miss penalties, I mean, to save that, he'd got an excellent record. You've already won over the England fans by doing that. So if you'd have been the crook, as it were, by not scoring, doesn't it level itself out?
Yeah, I know what you mean. So, and he already took one as well.
Yes.
It already took one in the Nations League thing.
Yeah, and that's what it was. I had throws back to that Nations League and I just thought, he's a good penalty taker.
Well, he just strikes the ball, doesn't he? But having said that, his penalty weren't just a strike. It was a proper placement, weren't it? So
yeah.
I was really surprised that Saka had the last one.
I was.
The tournament that he's had has been brilliant. And this could all change on the strike of one penalty. And it did. We all saw how upset and emotional he was afterwards.
I thought that was the really magical point. We were losing at that point. And then when he saved Jorginho's, I thought, it really is coming home. This is the magic bit. This is, we've saved two. We put it away. We do it now. I really thought that was like, it was the extra kind of sting in the tail, but it was the magic. And then for it to go straight out within 20 seconds afterwards was...
I know. Because I was like trying to work it out because all the Italians, they were waiting in the line. And they were all getting ready to run when Jorginho was taking his penalty. And then he saved it. And they all, like, stood down. I was like, yeah, sit down. But then I'm like, I start looking again and I'm thinking, oh, no, they're getting ready to go again. Because if he saves it, then they've won it. To be fair, you know, he got the player of the tournament in Donnarumma. And he thoroughly deserved it. He's got everything. He's got that ability to come and take crosses. He very rarely punches. He's always threatening on free kicks to try and get out there. And his actual goalkeeping skills are brilliant.
It was so flat as well, wasn't it, on the final kick. I felt like I knew it was over. The silence in the fan zone of hundreds and hundreds of fans then didn't want to speak. You know, I've got to then try and get some reaction from this, and no one wanted to talk, and that's completely understandable. It then fizzled out, and what had felt like this big crescendo from the summer and the way that we'd been building as we went on, it just went
Yeah.
Like a balloon going down.
And before it, you know, before the game, I was working with Sky and I was up in their studio. And it was amazing just to watch the way that the fans were all getting together, singing songs. You know, okay, there was a few idiots throwing bottles and beer cans and stuff like that. But I don't know. I just wanted to be around for that party. You know, as I said before in the podcast, you know, I want to be around when England win a trophy because it's just going to be mental.
A few things that I don't get. The fan that starts drinking for an 8 p.m. kickoff at maybe 6, 7, 8 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
If you're an England fan, you want to take it all in. We didn't want to miss a kick of the ball. I know all of us on this group, you would not have missed a single thing. How are you a fan if you're going to not even be with it? I can't get my head around that and process it. So that's one thing. And then when that did fizzle out, the few imbeciles that take to social media to then racially abuse some of the players that didn't get the penalty kick to go their way. I can't fathom that. I don't expect you to understand it. We don't understand it. But I suppose my question is more, what can be done about this?
There needs to be a lot more done. And that is why we're still taking the knee. You can't be doing that. It's just unacceptable to be racially abusing players just because they've missed a penalty. It's an absolute joke.
There's a problem that needs addressing, but we won't go and dwell on them. We don't want to give it too much of the airtime because we have got a really great England team to praise. There are so many positives. We didn't lose a match in 90 minutes. We didn't lose. The Italians couldn't beat us. It was just that they lifted the trophy after penalties.
That's exactly what I text Gareth after the game. And I said to him, I says, I'm so proud of what you've done. You know, not just you and the lads. And I'll read it out when he takes me back.
Yeah.
Thanks for your support throughout. Painful this morning, but I know in time we'll reflect on the progress made. And that's exactly how it is. There's a lot of experience now there for the young players to take on. They've felt that defeat. They've felt that bitterness. Will that make them more hungry for the World Cup? And I feel it will. You know, I just feel really good about this England squad. And I just think it's going to get better and better.
He's not left himself much more room for progress, though.
Yeah, but it's standards. Everybody was thinking, you know, you're coming back off the semi-final in the World Cup. And then we get to this tournament and he says anything but a semi-final will be a disappointment. I love that. You know, and I love the fact
that. I loved it when he came in as well. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the confidence that he had to say that, you know, and it'd be interesting to see, you know, how much more confident he gets, you know, because he's going places. He better bloody come home soon. God, how many times are we going to sing it in a tournament and it doesn't happen?
Tell you he was happy, Badil and Skinner.
Yeah, I was trying to think of rewording it, football's now come home, but no.
Yeah,
he didn't.
How do you do it? Different intonation. Yeah.
Coming Rome definitely doesn't work, so whatever, they can have that.
No.
So a few of the takeaways from the tournament with Gareth, one of mine would be this Rice and Phillips partnership. I think that's something that all England fans weren't expecting. And with Jordan Henderson as a trio in that, you've got a really good rotation.
Yeah, you have. You've got a great backup in Henderson. And like we said before the tournament, you know, there was players and certain positions that are question marks against them. But it, from the first game, it worked so well. You know, even with Phillips pushing on more than we thought, you know. And then he changed his tactics to actually hold in the next game. And it was so funny to see Declan Rice giving it everything for the country.
That's another and being side, absolutely,
the cramp. Yeah, I know, the cramp. It was, and even the game yesterday, you know, he came off and he was absolutely shot. He was done. You know, he couldn't have given any more for his country and for the team. And I just loved that about them.
Another one of mine would be the appreciation I now have for Harry Maguire.
Yeah.
It's gone to a new level from the moment he was reintroduced and his penalty just topped it off. The way he finished that was the best of our penalties.
That was a smashing hope. It was a good penalty, but I must admit, when he hit it, I was like, oh, from where I was sat, it looked like it was going to be still rising, but luckily it just went under the bar. But he has grown in confidence and quality. I think it's because he's got a bit of a better partner than he's got at Man United. And he gives in confidence knowing that if he is going to push in, he's getting covered definitely, you know, with John Stones. I think it's all full of positives. Who would you have as your player of the tournament? For England, I mean.
It's really tough because I think that they handled it all as a team really well, and they passed it around quite a lot, the pressure. But I suppose the standout would be Raheem Sterling.
Yeah.
Because I don't think any defence could really handle him. And it actually, it made me think back to our conversation with Tony Adams on one of these shows.
I know.
He was absolutely spot on.
He just said straight away, Raheem Sterling will be the main guy.
Yeah.
Tony knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Was it Tony that said, if I'm taking a penalty, if I don't know where it's going, then there's no way the goalkeeper knows where it's going. Is it Tony? Yeah. I love that. Yeah. That's really stuck with me.
That's exactly what I thought Harry Maguire did. He just went, he just put it that and he hit it. You could have hit it with his head, wouldn't you? Imagine if you got that.
Yeah. You've got more power.
A slab head penalty.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Seaman Says, in conversation.
Our final guest of the series is a man who I spent 12 years with at Arsenal, winning the Premier League, FA Cup and League Cup in the process. Welcome, Mr. Lee Dixon. Dico, I finally got you on my podcast.
Well, if you'd how are you? Asked, if you'd have asked me earlier, I would have come on earlier. I was a bit hurt and offended. I wasn't first on.
You've got the raw gig, in fairness, Lee, after yesterday.
Yeah, that's true. I'm surprised his royalty mates aren't on the pod instead of me.
What did you think of it, Dico?
I think when you sort of get over the disappointment of it, being penalties, you're so close to winning it. But in all honesty, you know, we didn't deserve to win the final. I thought the Italians were the better side. But I don't really care about what we deserve and what, you know, over the years we've perhaps deserved to do better in other tournaments that we haven't done. You know, the Lampard one over the line. You can go through a load of unlucky things. So I think the side of the draw that we got was favourable, like the World Cup. So that was good. So we had a bit of luck there. Seemed like Gareth has got the team playing in such a way and believing and bringing the fans and the press and everybody together as one has really strengthened, you know, England's stature in tournaments. I think people look at us now and we don't seem broken now, which is all he's doing. You know, I think in the past, the press, I mean, when I played back, you know, most of my caps were under Graham Taylor. And I used to, when the letter came through to say that I'd been called up, or the manager pulled you before training and said, oh, you're in the squad. I had a really started heavy feeling in my chest. Because I was like, I knew what was coming. I knew that as soon as we met up with England, you're out of the safe environment of your club that I knew day in, day out. And you're going into an environment where, you know, the press were vile towards the team. And certainly Graham, I felt really sorry for Graham Taylor. He was abused almost as England manager. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a nice environment. So I think that separation between the fans, the press and the players was huge. But I think what Gareth's done is he's brought everybody together, and the press actually want the team to win. And I think that's a big difference, really. That's a tangible difference. And so moving forward, you know, it's progression. We got to the final, semi-final in the World Cup. So the next obvious step is, you know, Qatar and that one.
Actually getting to lift a trophy. I know what you mean. You know, but yeah, I know what you mean about when you used to get together, like whenever you used to do a press interview and that, they always used to feel like they were trying to trip us up.
Yeah.
You know, we'd like, you know, different led questions and stuff like that. Whereas now, the guys aren't afraid to ask. You know, the press guys aren't afraid to ask, and then the players just answer.
Yeah.
And they're not bothered anymore. They don't care about, you know, like trying to be tripped up or whatever. They speak really well in front of the camera, and I think all that comes from Gareth, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think what he's, you know, I think coming through the ranks, if you like, from his point of view, helps with the player relationships because he knows a lot of the younger players. He's had them at under 21s and the levels moving up to the first team. So there's a, you know, they call him Gareth. There's a kind of trust there that he's going to be honest to him. I think he's been really honest over. And the difficult, I spoke to him, you know, before every game, he'd give me a call. You know, I said to him, can I have some help moving forward when I got the ITV co-coms? Because, you know, how difficult it is, you know, getting your notes, making sure you've got, you're sort of on the side of knowing what's happening. And I said, oh, I don't want you to give me the team or whatever beforehand, but...
You're lying.
You did.
But he said, look, I'll help you as much as I can. And I said, and to a day, every single day before a game, we'd arrange to, you know, ring. And if he rang and I missed his call, normally on the golf course, he'd ring me back, you know, 2 hours later. And he goes, yeah, I missed you, Dicko, you know, and he'd give me some information.
Oh.
So I think that, you know, that level of trust he's got with everybody around him, and I think he's built, that takes quite a long time to build that.
Do you think that teams are going to face us differently now? Do you think they're going to treat England? Because if you look at the tournament as a whole, they actually didn't lose a match across 90 minutes.
Yeah.
So when people say about this favourable draw opening up, which I still find difficult to stomach for this one, because Gareth Southgate did all he could to top the group, whereas everyone was saying, I'll try and become runner-up to get an even easier draw, which actually wouldn't have materialised as it happened. Yep. But do you think now the likes of your Portugals, Belgiums, you're going to be bringing in the Argentina who've just won the Copa America, Brazil, do you think that those, when they look in the whites of the England players' eyes now, are going to think, actually, they're not fearing us anymore?
Yeah, as long as you didn't watch the final. I genuinely think, as I said, I think we're stronger when we're together, and the fans and the press and the players all sort of singing from the same hymn sheet. And actually, you know, as the goalie said, there's no trick, they're not trying to trip you up, they're asking questions that they want genuine answers to, as opposed to saying, oh, I want you to say something so they can write about it. So I think you know, that I think that is viewed certainly by the foreign football associations as England are a strong unit now, as opposed to, I'm not saying a laughing stock, but there was times, you know, when I was playing that, you know, we were all over the place and things were happening off the pitch and the press were trying to have a go at us, and it was just us, it was an us v them, you know, and we felt as a team, I certainly did, felt really isolated. And didn't particularly enjoy, you know, they should be the best peak times of your footballing career. And I didn't particularly enjoy meeting up with England. It was really pressurised and not a nice pressure. These lads are enjoying the nice pressure of success and trust and all that. And there's always going to be pressure because you've got three lions on your chest. So there's always going to be that. But it was, as I said, everybody outside of the group wants you to do well, and that certainly wasn't the case. So I think, yeah, teams will look at us now in the future and go, wow, semi-final, now they got to a final. You can't not take notice of this England group now, because huge amount of talent. I think maybe looking back, Gareth might look at his each game, because I know how thorough he is looking at, you know, what's gone on and analysing everything. I think he might look back and maybe say, I could have been a little bit more positive with our attacking players. Not as much as the fans want, because I don't think that's possible. They want Grealish, Foden, Mount, you know, they want Saka, Sterling, they want them all to play, you know, and as it happens, you know, we had, at the end of it, we had Rashford right wing back and Sterling left wing back at the end of the game, so... The fans got their wish, but I think there's got to be a balance. And I think he might just turn that a little bit more, say positive's the wrong word, but more attack-based maybe next time out.
But how impressed were you with the defence? You know, because there was big question marks, weren't there, before the tournament? You know, there was a few question marks actually, like as in Sterling, even Pickford. You know, there was a few that were like, oh, hang on, will they play, or will he play as in Pickford? But the defence was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, and I think I think Gareth was a bit concerned going into it because of Harry Maguire, about him being injured, and he was a bit worried. That's why he was tinkering with maybe going back to a three, because I don't think he could rely on, or he felt as if he couldn't rely against the better teams with just two centre-backs. So he was hoping that Maguire would come good at some point during the tournament, which he did, and he came in and was exceptional. So the fact that he's, you know, got a relationship with John Stones now that seems very strong. Walker's one of the best sweep-up men you've got in world football because he's so quick. You know, he's sometimes positionally he's out, but and somebody else is out, but he just, you know, his recovery runs are brilliant. And Shaw has just turned into, you know, the player that Jose Mourinho wished he'd have been at Man United. So he's now knocking the lights out. And so the back four looks really strong at the moment with huge amount of backup with a fifth. I'm the only right fullback that didn't get in the squad, so I'm a bit gutted about that.
Brilliant. Mate, I've loved having you on, pal. Well,
Prince Andrew next, is it? Who have you got on next?
Yeah, just dropped in my number, so I'm waiting.
Kate Moss.
Exactly. Cheers, Dicko. Thanks for that, mate.
See you
Love
soon.
You, pal.
Seaman says, in conversation.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
David Seaman and Lindsay Hooper. This is Seaman Says.
Right then. So, guys, we're doing a Seaman Says Awards. First question, who's going to be the future star? Lindsay.
I think we've got to go, from an England point of view, we've got to go Bukayo Saka.
Yeah.
And then from a tournament point of view, I think Dahlberg.
Right. I'm going to agree with Lindsay. I'm going to go Saka because I just love the way that as soon as he received the ball, he wanted to get past players. He was receiving it and turning with it and then trying to take players out of the game. And I just love that about him. So, yeah, Saka is my future star.
What do you reckon, Callum?
I'd agree with Saka.
Yeah.
I think if you think about the players he's beat to get in the squad when the starting 11, regardless, and the fact that I don't think anyone really expects him to play much of a part, to be the final penalty kick taker as well, that whole journey, I don't think anyone else can compare.
I'm with you guys, simple as that.
Good. Right then, we're going to go most well-groomed.
I'm trying to think from the rest of the teams. I mean, easily for England, it's got to be Phil Foden, hasn't it? With the Gazza bleached hair.
I wouldn't. What, with that hair?
I think that goes the other way.
You think it was worse groomed?
Don't think you've understood the question.
Yeah.
He was noticeably groomed.
Yes.
Yeah. If I had to choose, I think I'd choose Jack. Just think he always looks cool and his hair's always done. I know he sometimes has, you know, a lot of hair on top, but you know, even Calvin Phillips though. But for me, I'd go Jack.
Well, I'm trying to think of other players this tournament that have caught my eye for being really well groomed. Can I go with a manager?
Yeah.
I'm going to say a manager. I'm going to say Roberto Mancini, Italian style.
Yeah, and looked cool all the way through.
Yeah.
Mancini with his little grey sort of at the front there.
Who was it? Dickie Davis.
Dickie Davis.
He had one of them, didn't he?
Is it on purpose, do you think? Like he's gone grey and he's just dyed everything else and just left a little bit of grey. Just a little, the ladies will love this.
Anyone who can wear grey so much and look fine is good.
Totally agree. Guys, anything?
I would just go with, apart from a few of them, if I had to say anyone, apart from Chiellini, I would say just the Italian team. They all looked quite dapper.
Definitely not Bernardeschi, though. He looked like he'd had a bird poo on his head.
That's staying in.
What'd you do if a bird shits on your head? Delete a number. Oh!
Love it. Dad joke.
We all needed that laugh. We all needed that.
Right. Next one is match of the tournament. I think for me, I really enjoyed the Italy-Belgium game. I just felt it was like two titans of the game going at it. You know, when you look at the quality that Belgium had, and for Italy to put that performance in on them was just awesome. I just felt they controlled the game and surprised a lot of people.
I know that you love that one. For me, it's not a match, it's a day. It's that Monday when France and Switzerland played, and then it was Spain and Croatia. Because, Wow. It was momentous. I think that day of matches will go down in tournament history. The amount of goals, the amount of jeopardy, it was brilliant. And I was at a wedding having to watch it on a table.
Yes, and I saw you the next day, didn't I? Looking a bit worse for wear.
Yeah.
A little worse for wear. Yeah. God, can you imagine how worse for wear we'd have been if we'd have won?
In a good way.
We didn't get back till 2:30 last night. Yeah, but I had to be up at 6.
You had to be up at 6?
Yeah, because I had to get to Wentworth. As you do.
See, you did not have to do that. You have a different definition of having to do something.
Yeah. Guys, match of the tournament?
I feel like if I go first, I might take Callum's, which might be a bit unfair.
I've got to back up, it's all right.
Okay, well, for me then, I feel like I was going to mention two, and I feel like one of them probably will be Callum's, but if I'm going to put the England-Germany to one side, I'm going to go for the Switzerland-France, where Switzerland went ahead, France went 3-1 up, and then they went out on penalties, and it's Mbappe that missed the penalty. I think that was an incredible match.
So you didn't steal Callum's, I stole yours, Adam. You did. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right, then. England-Germany.
I chose two.
What's yours, Callum?
I'm going to go, not for the quality of the match, but simply for what it meant, I think England-Denmark, because that's the first time I actually thought, oh my God, I'm actually going to see England win something.
Yeah.
How foolish was I? But I mean...
But England in a final as well.
Yeah. I think that was it. The emotion when Harry Kane scored, I thought, it's actually happening.
Yeah.
So I think that.
Right. Golden moment. For me, the best goal I felt was Schick.
Yeah.
Against Scotland. Oh, what a goal and what a strike that was. You know, and to know and be aware that the goalkeeper was way too far off his line, but his execution was absolutely perfect. But I also loved when Mason Mount went into the crowd and gave the girl his shirt.
Aww.
And she just burst into tears. I love those sort of moments.
I'm going to go with a moment rather than a goal. And I do think that halfway line one from Schick would take some beating anyway, because it was a different version of a halfway finish, wasn't it? Let's go with a moment. And we can't go past what happened in that Denmark match, the opening game. And knowing what we know now and that Eriksen has come through, I think it's that team togetherness of when they were all huddled round in a circle, just guarding him from the cameras. It was poignant, moving, and it showed that there are more important things than football.
Yeah, totally agree with that.
I'm going to go with that game, but a slightly different moment when the fans were going back and forth, going for Christian Eriksen, when no one really knew what was happening and the game was postponed. I think just that was a nice moment.
I'm same as Callum on that one. That moment was because it everyone was just united at that point. It didn't matter that it was opposing teams. It was that was quite beautiful.
Yeah. And now we're going to go for player of the tournament.
Yeah, and you're going to go for a goalkeeper, of course.
And he's already got it.
Yeah.
You can't. I've got to go with Donnarumma because he just showed so much quality for a goalkeeper that's only, what, 23?
22. Born in 1999.
Yeah, so, wow. Oh, nice. Yeah, so I've got to go with Donnarumma because for a guy that's 22 years old, he made his Italian debut when he was 17. And even before the tournament, I heard Italian fans saying that the goalkeeper position is set in concrete for the next 20 years because that's how much they loved him.
I don't want to rain on his parade, but he is definitely like John Terry. You know how John Terry always looked about 35?
No. Yeah. And he still looks 35 now.
Pendulum has swung like, in his favour.
That's like Donnarumma. Donnarumma looks so much older than 22, doesn't he?
I know. And the performances that he puts in, you know, you're thinking that's a goalkeeper that's been doing that for a long time. But not only has he done that, he's saved 3 penalties in a shootout. He's been named player of the tournament. They've won it. And he's signed for PSG as well. You know, so he's got like so much going on in his head. But yet he can totally focus on the job ahead. And boy, did he do that.
I'm going to go with an Italian player as well. And he wasn't even playing in the final.
Oh, yeah.
And I've toyed with this because I was so impressed with this player all the way through. And when he got the injury that meant that he was missing for the final, because it's a 6-month injury for Spinazzola, I thought, can he even be the player of the tournament now? You know, if you've missed considerable amount of the latter stages of the tournament, can you be? And then I thought about just how electric he was, the space he opened up, how forward thinking and cutting in and the problems he would have caused England.
Yeah.
And I just think the way that the whole team reacted with him, he was on those crutches, they were going back. I think they know his value and I think he was player of the tournament.
Okay. Good choice. Good choice. Not as good as mine, but good choice.
Certainly doesn't look as old as yours. I know. I was only joking. I really hope Donnarumma doesn't listen to this.
I'm going to the other end of the scale. I'm actually going to go for Ronaldo. I think the fact that his age, as footballing ages go, the fact that he's equaled the record, the fact that he got the golden boot, and he only played, was it 4 matches?
Exactly.
I mean, that's still very impressive.
Yeah.
So Ronaldo for me then.
Cool.
I'm going to go English and I think Sterling. Right. Just because, again, I don't think anyone really expected him to play as well as he has, considering the season he's had as well.
Yeah.
I mean, they're talking about him being a part exchange for City, and then he goes and has a tournament like that.
Yeah.
I mean, talking about mental strength. And he's they're talking about him going to Spurs, so I mean, he's had it twice as bad as Donnarumma. Yeah.
Brilliant.
That was a joke that was sure to land, Callum, on this show.
I know my audience.
Oh, yes. Does anybody know what's happening with Harry?
Well, the offer was there from City that got turned down, supposedly, and that's gone to Grealish, and we wait to see for that to come out.
And no, I think Grealish is staying at Villa. I will say that.
Oh, really?
I think Grealish, yeah.
Have your insider knowledge there, Lindsay, or what are you basing that on?
It's a broomy roots.
I believe that they have upped his contract.
Upped his salary.
Yeah, to keep him. And I think that's really important. You know, they've been very ambitious, haven't they, with a lot of their moves. You know, it began with Martinez, actually, probably, didn't it?
Yeah.
Getting him from Arsenal. And some of the signings, they attempted to try and get Smith Rowe, but didn't. But Buendia's a huge signing. And I think if you're showing that sort of ambition,
it's odd for them for Norwich to let him go when they've just made it back into the league as well.
I know, I don't get that.
Yeah.
I honestly would have taken him for Wolves. I really would.
Yeah. Great player.
And they outbid Arsenal for him as well. Like, how bad does that make us look? Stop laughing, Lindsay.
you're our nearest competition at Wolves now.
Oh no. And I can't reply to that either because I know it's true. Oh gosh.
Seaman Says.
Hear him like never before.
Thanks for listening to Seaman Says throughout the Euros. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have. Don't forget, you can still watch all our interviews with the likes of Gazza, Tony Adams, Stuart Pearce, Jurgen Klinsmann, Incy, and more by finding us on YouTube. Make sure you're following us on Twitter and Instagram at Seaman Podcast. We will see you very soon.
David Seaman and Lindsay Hooper.
This is Seaman Says. This is a Listening Dog Media production.
Sports Social Podcast Network.